Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The High Cost of Free Parking. Updated edition is a landmark urban planning and transportation policy book by Donald Shoup, a UCLA professor and leading critic of conventional parking regulation. First published in 2005 and later updated. The book argues that the common practice of providing free or underpriced parking is not neutral convenience, but a major policy distortion. Shoup shows how parking rules shape driving behavior, land use, housing affordability, street life, congestion, and environmental outcomes. Written as a rigorous policy critique rather than a popular manifesto, the book examines how zoning codes, minimum parking requirements, and curb parking pricing interact to produce hidden economic and social costs. Its central purpose is to persuade planners, elected officials, and urban advocates that parking should be managed as a scarce resource with real market value, not treated as an unlimited public entitlement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why free parking is treated as a hidden subsidy with broad urban costs. Shoup's core argument is that parking is never truly free. Its cost is simply buried in rents, retail prices, taxes, and the public realm. When cities require developers to provide abundant off-street parking or allow curb parking to be underpriced, they subsidize car ownership and car use while shifting costs onto everyone else. The book explains that this subsidy distorts transportation choices by making driving appear cheaper than it really is. That in turn encourages more vehicle dependence, more congestion, and more land devoted to parking instead of housing, shops, parks, or sidewalks. The book is especially effective because it treats parking policy as an economic issue rather than a narrow traffic management issue. Shoup shows that a parking space has opportunity costs. Land used for storage of idle cars cannot be used for more productive urban purposes. This framing is one of the book's most important contributions and helps explain why parking policy affects so many other city systems. Secondly, cruising for parking and the tragedy of the commons on public streets. Another major theme is the idea that unpriced curb parking creates a classic tragedy of the commons. Each driver wants the most convenient space, but when many drivers compete for a limited supply of free curb spaces, the result is collective waste. Shoup calls the search for parking cruising, and he treats it as a serious source of traffic, delay, fuel use, and pollution. The problem is not simply inconvenience for drivers. It is a design failure that turns neighborhood streets into low-grade traffic loops as drivers circle blocks looking for empty spaces. Shoup argues that this behavior is predictable when prices are zero or too low, because demand rises until spaces are scarce. His policy response is to use price as a management tool so that a small number of spaces remain available, reducing the incentive to cruise. This section of the book is important because it connects micro-level driver behavior to citywide congestion. It also shows that parking management can improve traffic flow without building more roads or expanding parking supply. Thirdly, minimum parking requirements and the overbuilding of auto-oriented cities. Shoup devotes substantial attention to zoning rules that require off-street parking minimums for new development. He argues that these requirements force developers to build more parking than the market would naturally demand, especially in places with transit, walkability, or mixed-use activity. The result is overbuilt parking supply, higher construction costs, and buildings shaped around cars rather than people. Because parking is expensive to build and maintain, mandatory minimums can raise the cost of housing, retail, and office projects even when the parking itself is underused. The book presents this as a planning problem with cumulative effects. When every parcel must accommodate parking, urban form becomes spread out, less dense, and less walkable. Shoup's critique is powerful because it shows how seemingly technical zoning standards influence metropolitan growth patterns. He does not argue that parking should never be built, but that requirements should be replaced with more flexible, demand-sensitive policies. This theme makes the book especially relevant to housing affordability debates and to any city trying to reduce sprawl without weakening access. Fourthly, pricing curb parking as a practical tool for better demand management, Shoup does not merely criticize existing parking policy. He offers a concrete alternative based on market pricing. His preferred approach is to charge fair prices for curb parking so that spaces are available but not wasted by excessive demand. The goal is not to maximize revenue for its own sake, but to maintain a target level of vacancy that makes parking easier to find and reduces cruising. This makes parking policy resemble other utility systems where price helps manage scarcity. The updated edition emphasizes that metered or dynamically priced parking can be politically more acceptable when the revenue is returned to the local neighborhood in visible ways, such as sidewalk cleaning, street trees, lighting, or other public improvements. That link between price and local benefit is a distinctive feature of Shoup's framework. It helps explain why pricing can be framed as a fair exchange rather than a punishment. In practical terms, This topic is one of the book's most influential contributions because it turns a seemingly intractable urban annoyance into a manageable policy instrument with measurable. Lastly, a broader reform agenda linking parking policy to housing, climate, and urban design. The book's larger significance lies in showing that parking reform is not an isolated technical fix. SHU connects parking policy to housing costs, air pollution, energy use, street design, and climate impacts. Because parking requirements increase the cost and footprint of development, they can make housing less affordable and push cities toward lower density patterns that depend more heavily on driving. Because abundant free parking encourages car use, it also contributes to emissions and weakens efforts to build more sustainable transportation systems. The updated edition matters because it situates the original argument within an even more visible policy debate. Cities are now reconsidering parking mandates as part of broader housing and climate strategies. SHU's work stands out because it traces a direct line from a local regulation, parking supply, to wide structural consequences across the urban system. That makes the book useful not only to planners, but also to policymakers, economists, environmental advocates, and housing reformers. Its enduring value is that it changes how readers understand a familiar city feature and reveals parking as a central lever of urban policy rather than a background amenity. In conclusion, The High Cost of Free Parking, updated edition, should be read by urban planners, transportation professionals, housing policymakers, elected officials, architects, and anyone interested in how city rules shape everyday life. It is also valuable for readers who want to understand why parking policy often sits at the intersection of affordability, congestion, sustainability, and neighborhood design. The book offers practical benefits by explaining why minimum parking requirements can be counterproductive, how curb pricing can reduce cruising, and why local governments should treat parking as a scarce resource that needs active management. Intellectually, it is valuable because it reframes a familiar subject in economic and political terms, showing that parking is not a minor technical issue, but a central force in urban development. What distinguishes it from many books on cities is its combination of careful policy critique and concrete reform proposals. Rather than simply condemning cars or praising transit, SHU focuses on the institutional rules that quietly shape travel behavior and land use. That makes the book unusually influential, durable, and relevant to current debates over housing supply, climate policy, and the future of streets. If you would like to support Donald SHU, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.